Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. Glory to God. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful day out there. You could be out doing lawn work, fixing things around the house, but you decided to come in and be a part of the family of God this morning. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see you here this morning. I just wanted to take a moment to introduce myself. Maybe you haven't had a chance to meet me. My name is Savante. I've been a member of this church for 10 years, being raised up under Pastor Tim Stallman, who is the anointed man of God for this pulpit. I am not the pastor here, so if you're visiting here this morning and you don't like what I say, you don't like the message that I have to bring to the table this morning, well, come back, meet Pastor Tim, hear the word of God that he's got to deliver, because he is the man anointed for this place. But he's called upon me this morning to go ahead and minister the word of God, and I've prepared, I've studied, I've prayed. So I believe I have a message from the throne room of heaven this morning. I'm going to bring you the word of God, because in and of myself, I ain't got much. I don't have much to bring to the table, but through God, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. So it's such an honor and privilege to be here this morning and to minister to each and every one of you. You know, I don't take it lightly. I want you to know that. It's such a tremendous honor to be here with the family. Glory to God. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open them to Revelation chapter 2. And we're going to go ahead and get in the Word of God this morning, because that's why we're here. We're here to be strengthened and encouraged by our Heavenly Father and the Word that He gave us as a gift so that He could help us through life. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to go ahead and start in verse 2 in just a moment. But I wanted to talk this morning and minister this morning on God's unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor. You know, God has favor for each and every one of us. God has blessings for each and every one of us. But we need to understand how those blessings come to be in our life, how we appropriate and get those blessings to come to us. And we have to realize God has unmerited favor. And we're going to go ahead and get into that in a minute. But I just wanted to point out here this morning, you know, as you look around the United States and even Western culture and Christianity, very big trend that you see across this nation is a merit-based Christianity. And I want to tell you that Christianity is not a merit-based system. You know what? We see, you know, people, they just rely on their rituals of going to Sunday service, of their prayers, of giving tithes and offerings, of reading the Bible a lot, of, you know, being a blessing to people, of doing all of these works and all of these things to try to get God's blessing and favor. They don't realize that they're doing it. They just think that they're upholding their duty as a good Christian to be the best person that they can be. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, you can never do enough. You can never do enough labors. You can never do enough works that's going to earn God's favor in your life, because guess what? He is the one that merits His own favor in your life. God is the one that brings favor into our life. There's nothing that we can do. So it doesn't matter, you know, what you did right or what you did wrong. God's favor is still there and it's still available for you. So I want to encourage you, let's get away from this merit-based idea of Christianity. Yes, it's good to pray. Yes, it's good to read your Bible. Yes, come to church on Sunday morning. These things will strengthen and bless your life. It will build faith into your life. But this is not the end-all, be-all of Christianity. And so I'm here to just encourage you to take you out of the bondage of that works mentality in the things of God. Hallelujah. And I want to show you that Jesus warned us about this in the book of Revelation. There in chapter 2 and verse 2, Jesus, through the prophecy of John the Apostle, he delivered a message to the church of Ephesus. And he was warning them about things that were going on, the ways that they were acting, the things that they were doing. And it gives us an indication of what we should do and how we should act today in our modern day Christianity as well. Because guess what? The word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't just look at that and say, oh, well, that word was good for them, so, you know, it doesn't matter today. We're doing our own thing. No, God doesn't want us to do our own thing. God wants things His way, and He gave us that instruction. So here in Revelation chapter 2 in verse 2, this is Jesus speaking. He says, I know thy works and thy labor, and thy patience, and how they and how you cannot bear them which are evil, and you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and you have found them liars. And you have borne and have patience, and for my name's sake you have labored, and you have not fainted. Wow. Sounds like a pretty good, God is just like saying, you guys are doing a good job. You guys are doing all of these things. You're laboring, you're working, you're pushing away those that are preaching false doctrines. Good for you guys. But he's got something else to say. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. You've left your first love. You see, this is direct instruction to the Church of God today. You know, we can have all the social programs, all of the kids' ministries, youth groups. We can have, you know, small group gatherings. We can do potluck dinners. We can do outreaches, all of these things. But are we forgetting our first love? Because it's not about just the works that we can do day in and day out, like clocking in on the job and then clocking out and then taking your wage at the end of the week. That's not what this Christianity is all about. This Christianity is about love first and foremost. And that's what Jesus is saying right there. You forgot your first love. You forgot the reason why you are here at church on Sunday morning. You forgot the reason why you're going, and eventually we'll have kids' ministries back in the name of Jesus. You forgot why you go and you serve in that ministry with the kids. You forgot why you show up and bring your tithe and offering. You forgot why you come and you help people and you give to people. It's not because you're trying to get something from God. It's not because you're trying to be a good Christian, because you can never be good enough in the eyes of God. But through Jesus Christ and through love, you can be good enough. You can be good enough. It's not based on works. It's based on who God is on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. So let's not forget our first love. Let's not forget the whole reason why we're here today and why we labor and work for God. It's because we love Him first, and it's because we love others. That is the reason. Go ahead and turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. We're going to continue on this because, you know, people think that, you know, either in order to earn God's favor, they have to be good enough, like I said, or in order to, or they have to, if they've done wrong things, because all of us have done wrong. Everybody's sinned. Everybody's fallen short of God's grace. So they think that they have to like rent their clothes and put on a sackcloth and ashes and get on their knees and bawl and whine and complain about their situation. And then God will hear them. Then God will hear you. Or if you say the Ephesians prayers 25 times, 30, 40, 50 times, and then on the 51st time, like, this is it. I've done it 51 times, so this is my answer now because I've done it so many times. Or you've prayed. I've clocked in 8 hours of prayer today. I've clocked in 16 hours of prayer this week, wherever the level you're at. So now, because I've done that, I've got my answer. Now I can receive from God. Now, because I prayed enough, God can hear me. Nope. That is not how it works. You're treating the blessings and the favor of God. You're treating the works of labor and love like you're treating your job that you go to each and every week. I've got a job. I clock in on my job. I do the things that I'm supposed to do. I clock out, and I expect to get a paycheck at the end of the week. That's just how it works. But that's not how it is with God. God's blessings, God's favor, I'm going to show you here in the book of Ephesians, they are a free gift to each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and start in verse 2, and it says this, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Go ahead and skip down to verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Everybody say grace.
Grace.
Grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. That's exactly what that means. It means unmerited favor. How many times do we see the word grace here written? I see it in verse 2. Grace. There's one time. Praise the Lord. You know what? Actually, there's another one. Grace in verse 6. It says grace at the end of verse 7. Grace is the overarching theme of the book of Ephesians and really the entire gospel. The word grace is our access to God. It's our access to his blessings, to his favor, to his healing, his peace, provision, prosperity. Without grace, we would have nothing. It's unmerited favor. Praise the Lord. Guess what? You didn't earn your salvation. You did not earn your salvation. You didn't earn your forgiveness from God. The word forgiveness actually is an interesting word. I love to break words down and find out what they mean. So there's two parts to the word forgive. It's for and give. If you know anything about the English language, I know a little bit, but the word for is defined as prior to or before. And of course, we all know what it means to give. So the word forgive means simply this: you give to somebody before you get anything in return. Isn't that what God did for us? He forgave us. He gave us Jesus. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us that we could be saved. God gave us everything before we even deserved it. Did you deserve your salvation? No. You didn't deserve your salvation. And maybe you're sitting here today and you're like, well, I'm not saved yet. You know, how do I get saved? I can tell you what, don't go out there like so many people do and try to get rid of this thing in your life. Try to fix up that thing in your life. Try to become a better person and then go to God, because that's not how it works. You don't earn your salvation by becoming a good person and then accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a free gift to you right here and right now without you doing anything except believing on Jesus Christ as your one and only Lord and Savior. That is true forgiveness, is giving to somebody before they do anything for you. Come on, spouses. Right? Isn't that how we should be acting in our marriages or in our relationships? We should give to each other before anybody does anything for us. You know, maybe your husband and your wife did something bad. Maybe they talked to you wrong. Maybe they were short-tempered with you. Maybe they didn't do everything that you wanted them to do right. Maybe they had a bad attitude. So what are you going to do? Are you going to wait for them to come and say, I'm sorry? Are you going to wait for them to give you a present? Are you going to wait for them to cry and whine and moan and complain at you before you forgive them? If you wait to forgive somebody until they come and say they're sorry, or until they give you a present and make you feel good, that's not forgiveness at all. It's not forgiveness. That is a lie. That's a sham, because you made them earn that forgiveness and that mercy. God doesn't make us earn forgiveness. He doesn't make us earn blessings. He doesn't make us earn favor and all of the things that he has for us. It's a free gift. That's exactly what the book of Ephesians is saying there. It's a free gift. Now let me slow down here a little bit. Because I want to make sure that nobody's getting the wrong idea and they're like, woo, I just get to do whatever I want now. You can't do whatever you want. Because guess what? God has a certain plan and purpose for your life. He wants you to live in faith. He wants you to walk in love and grace and mercy. Because isn't that what he said there in Revelation chapter 2? You've forgotten your first love, right? You forgot your first love. The whole premise of this idea is walking in love. Everything that we do has to be motivated and pushed forward through the love of God. So if you are, isn't that what Jesus said too? He says, I give you a new commandment, to love. To love. That's the new commandment. Everything that we do is just to be simply based on love. If you're doing that, you're doing a good job. Praise the Lord. But this isn't to say this free grace, you know, the free blessings isn't to say you just get to do what you want. We'll get into that here shortly. But praise the Lord. I love that. We are saved by grace. Actually, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 says that. For you are saved, for by grace, or by God's unmerited favor, you are saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. In verse 9, it says this here, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. It's not of works. It's by grace and grace alone. Like I said, you can cry, you can pray, you can read your Bible for 10 hours a day, but it's not going to be enough to earn God's grace and favor for your life. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we're talking about forgiveness here. We're talking about receiving of God's goodness. And, you know, I God gave me this illustration last week, and, you know, I've been meditating on it, and it just became so alive in me about what God did for us. You know, through Jesus Christ and through his courtroom in heaven, you know, because we had a debt that we had to pay, right? We had the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and that each and every one of us, you know, in the high court of heaven were convicted against God and we were found guilty. You know, but let's take a backtrack here. I'm sure there's a lot of people here who have had a debt on a vehicle. You know, or maybe you have a mortgage on a house, and you can get rid of a debt in a few ways, right? So you can take a debt and you can pay monthly or just drop one big lump sum of cash on it, which is awesome if you can do that, and you can pay off that debt. But is that debt forgiven? No, That debt's not forgiven. That debt has been paid. It's been something that you did on your own, right? Another way that you can get rid of a debt is somebody else can be a blessing and they can give you money and pay it off for you. You know, but is that debt forgiven? No, the debt's not forgiven. That's still been paid off by somebody, by you, by yourself, you know, by that person. And then there's another way that you can get rid of a debt, and I hope that none of you have had to go through this, but there's something called a bankruptcy, you know? And what happens in a bankruptcy is, I can't pay. So you go to the judge, and your case is made, and yet debt is forgiven. And in some circumstances, you can't pay. We were in bankruptcy with God. That's exactly it. We could not pay our debts to our Heavenly Father. We were in bankruptcy. We could try to go up to the courtroom in heaven and try to work something out, but we were in bankruptcy, and so we needed God to do something and make His high ruling so that that debt could be forgiven. And so what did He do? He gave us His one and only Son, Christ Jesus. He gave us Jesus Christ. And then Jesus Christ, after He died on the cross and rose again, He came up and He presented His own blood to the Heavenly Father. And He said, "Here is my blood. Their debts are forgiven." And you know, obviously we know Jesus and God are one and the same. So really, it was God's own blood. He paid the price with His own blood for each and every one of our debts. Guess what else? Satan was up there. He knows that the wages of sin are death. And he was up there saying, "Hey, this person, they did this wrong. They did that wrong. Can I come and destroy their life? I just want to mess them up real good. I just want to kick them to the curb because they've done wrong things. They've done bad things." Each and every one of us were in that position in the high court of heaven where Satan was sitting there pestering the judge. And God being the good judge, if we don't have forgiveness, he's got to allow Satan to move. But through Jesus Christ, Jesus walked up there and said, "Get out of here, Satan." Kicked him out of the high court of heaven, and he said, "Here's my blood, Heavenly Father. Here's my blood to pay for them. Here's my blood so that they can be forgiven." He said, "Satan, get out of here. You can't try to collect on this debt anymore. You cannot try to have their life anymore. We've been forgiven. We've been set free. We've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of His testimony." Hallelujah. We do not have any debt before God anymore. And guess what? Jesus didn't pay off Satan. Satan got nothing in this deal. We got everything. That's why Satan is so mad. That's why he still tries to come at us, trying to destroy our life and take us out, is because he is just so mad and so angry at what happened. He got the short end of the stick. He got nothing. So that's why, even though our debt's been paid, even though, you know, in the eyes of God, we are free and we are forgiven, Satan still tries to come after us. But praise the Lord, Jesus gave us an answer because he gave us, we don't earn it, he gave us all power and authority in heaven and on earth to trample upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy so that nothing shall by any means hurt us. Nothing shall by any means hurt us. He gave us that authority because he knew Satan would be mad as all get out. So he made a way that we could just boss him around some more. Say, "Get out of here. Skit, scoot, and skedaddle." You know, because doesn't the Bible say, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you"? That's right. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. So if God paid our debts, if he did it on his own good judgment and closed the court of heaven on your case, why are we still sitting here on this earth trying to pay our debts day in and day out? I've been there. I've done some wrong things in life. I've lived in wrong ways. And sometimes, you know, you think about those things and you think, "Oh, I've got to make it up. I've got to make it up to God for the wrong things that I've done, for the bad ways that I was living in the past, for my mistakes. I've got to make it up to God for the wrong ways that I've treated my wife or treated my kids or talked sharply to somebody or didn't forgive somebody." And so I sit there and you get in this moment where you're just like, "Oh, God, forgive me. God, forgive me. Please forgive me, Father God, for the things that I've done wrong." But you have to realize that's not where God wants you to be. God wants you to boldly come to him, seeking out his grace and his mercy and his love because it's a free gift. It doesn't matter what you did wrong. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. I want to dissect this word merit because that's what we're talking about, God's unmerited favor. And the word merit means this. It means the quality of being particularly good or worthy, especially as to deserve praise or reward. Praise the Lord. I'm going to read that again. The quality of being particularly good or worthy, especially as to deserve praise or reward. I love some of the wording in there because it directs me to one figure and one figure only, and that's our Heavenly Father. The words in here, particularly good, is there anybody good except God? Truly? Truly good? No. There is none good. The Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. So there's really only one good person in this world, and that is God himself. And it says, particularly good or worthy. Who's the only one that's worthy? Our Heavenly Father. Especially as to deserve praise, who's the only one that we're supposed to praise? Our Heavenly Father. And reward. Praise the Lord. He is our reward. Glory to God. So I love that word merit, because oftentimes we try to merit the things of God. We try to merit, you know, God's forgiveness or his grace or his blessings, but we can't merit it. That word, that definition of merit itself just completely exudes us from trying to merit anything, because we cannot be good enough, to merit anything from God. Praise the Lord. When we try to pay off God, when we try to merit and earn his blessings and his favor in our life, it's pride. It's pride. It's thinking that we can do enough to earn it. But listen, we need to set aside our pride. We need to set aside our good accomplishments and the awesome things that we think that we're doing for God. And we need to say, God, I'm going to continue doing these things, but it's not these things that's going to make me better in your eyes. It's not these things that's going to make me righteous and holy in your eyes, but it's by the blood of Christ Jesus alone. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're not the righteousness of God in the works that we do. Never can we be the righteousness of God in the works that we do. It's only through God and God alone. Praise the Lord. So God does not reward our merit. Yeah, we can do good things in life, and I encourage each and every one of you, do good things in life. Like, that's our purpose, is really, you know, to walk out the love of God, to show people what it means to live a good life and to be a good person. Because if we're not living a good life, being a good person, nobody's going to want to come to our Savior. Nobody will. People are looking for a change in life. They're not looking for the same old thing. If you're trying to win somebody by acting like them, coming down to their level, you're never going to win them that way. They want to see something new and something different. Everybody's seeking out change in life, and they can find that change in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Doctors don't heal by merit, do they? No. Firefighters, they don't put out a fire in a house just by merit. They don't say, a doctor doesn't come, when you walk into a doctor's office, they don't look at your past and say, oh, well, I'm not going to serve you today because you did this in your past, you did that, you did this, you did that. No, doctors don't heal by merit. Now, yeah, you could say, well, sometimes if there was a tragedy or something like that, and there were the victims and then there was the attacker, yeah, they would put preferential treatment on the victims, but they would still try to save the attacker's life, you know, right? So, but in reality, doctors don't heal by merit. A good doctor, I should say, doesn't heal by merit, because there could be some doctors out there that refuse to serve somebody or do some wrong things, but a good and just doctor does not heal by merit. The emergency responders, the firefighters, they don't respond to a call based on merit, by what you deserve or don't deserve. They are out there to help each and every person equally. That is their goal in life. Their goal is to help and to heal. So why would we think that God would be any different? He is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. He is our eternal Heavenly Father, our family physician. So why would we think that he would be any different as to receive healing based on merit? Healing is not based on merit. Healing is based on the Word of God and the Word of God alone. By his stripes, I am healed. Right? It's by the stripes of Jesus Christ that you're healed. If you're trying to get your healing by doing all of these things, by praying enough, by reading enough of the Bible, if that's your method of trying to get your healing, it's not going to happen. You cannot earn your healing. Now, again, I'm going to reiterate, you have to stay in the Word. You have to stay in prayer. You have to build your faith. You have to know the Word of God and accept those promises and take them as your own. But that's not you earning your healing. Your healing is a free gift. It's free. Hallelujah. It's free. A free gift. Each and every one of you. It's free for you here today. Because like we said before, forgiveness of our sins, was that something that you earned? Absolutely not. You didn't earn your forgiveness of sins. Same way, you don't earn your healing. You don't earn your healing. Jehovah Rapha. So listen, we trust doctors to put us under, to do all these procedures and surgeries on us. So why don't we put aside our pride, and why don't we start learning to trust our Heavenly Father, our good family physician in heaven, for the healing of our bodies? I'm not saying it's wrong to go to a doctor at all, but we should, as time goes on, as we grow and mature in the faith, learn to have our Heavenly Father as our good physician. Praise the Lord. So the number one point I want to make today, and I've mentioned this here already, is that God's unmerited favor gives us access. So we have full access. That's point number one here today. We have full access to the Savior, to the healer, to the peace giver, to prosperity, to joy, to strength in life. When God sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, and then Jesus came up and presented his blood, we got like an access card to the throne room of heaven. That's exactly what happened. Now we can enter into the presence of God, and we have the ability to receive everything that we need. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 13. Praise the Lord. The Word is so good. I just get excited about the Word of God. Hallelujah. So this is the scripture that was sent out in the text message yesterday. And this was really, the basis of my message. And so finally going to get to that. And it says here in Hebrews 6:13, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself." There was no one on this earth that is greater than God. There is no one in the entire universe greater than God. So who's he going to swear his promise upon? He could only swear his promise upon himself. That's how we know that God's promises are true, is because he swore upon himself, the only one that is just and holy and good. So when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. So, let me ask you this question. Did Abraham earn the blessing of God with a son? He didn't. It's easy to think that over the course of those 25 years from when the promise was made until he received that son, he was spending time earning, clocking in and clocking out, day in and day out, earning himself a son from God. But he didn't earn a son from God. It was just simply something that God swore by his own name that he would have that, and God made it good. What did Abraham have to do? Abraham just had to have faith. He had to have faith in the God who promised. Isn't that true? Actually, I'm going to go ahead and skip over here to Hebrews chapter 11. And it says here in Hebrews 11:11, "Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised." When we judge God faithful as to what he promised us, that's when we receive. But are you judging yourself faithful to what you've done, to how many hours you've put in prayer, to how much word that you've known and memorized, or are you judging him faithful? That is the difference. That's the difference. Judge our Heavenly Father faithful, and that's how you receive. And then in verse 19, go ahead down to Hebrews 6:19, it says this, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, in which enters into that within the veil." I'm going to go ahead and put that into a little bit more plainer terminology. It says this in Hebrews 6:19. It says, "This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary." That's why I said, through God's merit, through what God did, through God swearing upon his own name, we have full access to his presence. We have full access to his blessings and his provision and his strength and his healing through him and through him alone. There's nothing that we can do to earn it. There's no amount of things that we can do, no amount of crying and complaining or praying or giving that we can do to earn access into his presence. It's by God and God alone. Praise the Lord. We have, it leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. It's a surety. It's that steadfast. It's an anchor to our soul, knowing that God swore his promises on his own name. So because he did it on his own name and nothing else, we can know that it is true for our lives. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, it was the same thing for the promises to Israel while they were in Egypt. and in the wilderness, you know, they didn't earn the promise of the promised land because of what they did, right or wrong. God loved Israel. He had a plan for them. So he said, I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. They didn't do anything good to earn it. They weren't worshiping God like they should have. They were in slavery and in bondage, you know. But God, anyway, he went ahead and he blessed them. In the wilderness, when they were going about their ways, you know, they were walking through, they didn't have enough bread, they didn't have enough food, and they were complaining about the things that they had to eat. Did they earn the manna from heaven? No. Did they earn the water from the rock? Did they earn the parting of the Red Sea? They didn't earn any of it. In fact, they were just a bunch of whiners and complainers the whole time. They didn't do anything good to earn any of these blessings from God. Yet they saw some of the most miraculous miracles, things that we've never seen at all in this age. And they received those things just simply because of the goodness of God, because he loved them and he had a promise for them. He had a plan for them. And even though they were messing up big, messing up bad, they still received the blessings and promises of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 10. Hallelujah. Oh, God is so good. He's so faithful. He's so gracious and merciful. He loves us so much. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He gave us anything before we could do anything for him. Praise the Lord. It says this in Romans chapter 10, and we're going to start in verse 21. And this is talking about Israel. And he says, but to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. God is there. To the good, to the bad, to the ugly, to whatever it is, he's there. He's reaching out his hand. He wants to give to you. He wants to get his blessing into your life. But you need to get to that place where you access what he has for you. But if you don't know the words, you won't know you have access. You will not know that you have access. That's why it's important we stay in the Word of God. It's not about earning it. It's about knowing it. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right? If we don't know something, we can't have it. It's so true. We don't know something, we can't have it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go ahead and skip back to Romans. It's just the same chapter, Romans 10 and verse 3. You know, we've got to make sure that we're not earning our righteousness, that we're not doing things to try to become righteous in God's eyes. And here in verse 3, it says this, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, in going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. See, we cannot try to establish our own righteousness. Where does righteousness come from? Him. Him and him alone. From Jesus Christ alone. We can't establish our own way of righteousness. There's Christian denominations and things like that that try to go out and establish their own righteousness. Even in this church here, we have tried to establish our own righteousness from time to time. You know, I'm not saying that anything here we've done wrong, but just each and every one of us individually have done things in our life to try to establish righteousness in our life. But the Bible says here, don't try to establish your own righteousness. It says here, they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. If you want to be found righteous and holy in God's eyes, just submit yourself. Just give your life to him. Just say, I can't do it, God. I can't be good enough. I can't earn any of these things, so I'm just going to submit to you, and I'm just going to walk in love. Hallelujah. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. We don't have anything in this world regarding righteousness except through Jesus Christ and us believing on him. Praise the Lord. So we got to stop trying to earn things. Favor is always with me. It's always with me. It's always available to me. I've just got to reach out and grab it. Hallelujah. The number two thing that I want to say is that faith is a free gift to the hearer. Faith is a free gift. Let me ask you this. If somebody's out there saying, free money, everybody, free money, free money. But if you're just going about your day and you got headphones in or you're just ignoring or you're too busy chatting and talking and you're not hearing that somebody's saying, free money, are you going to get any free money? No. It's the same thing with God's blessings. Faith is a free gift to the hearer. He's here. He's got his open arm. He even said to Israel that I've stretched forth my hand to a disobedient people. His hand was out, but they weren't being hearers of the word of God. They were being disobedient. And it's still, even at times in their disobedience, he still blessed them. But he had so much more for them if they would just hear. So there in Romans, still in Romans chapter 10, praise the Lord, in verse 17, it says this, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith is how we receive the things that we have access to. I'm going to say that again. Faith is how we receive the things that we have access to. So we said, by God's merit, by God's grace and his favor, we have access to his presence and all that is contained in his presence. But we receive those things. We go and we reach out and grab those things by faith. That's how we receive it. If we say, look at what my faith did for me, that's pride. Because faith is a free gift to the hearer. It wasn't your faith to begin with, and it's not because of what you earned. We should never let those words come out of our mouth. Oh my gosh, look at what my faith did for me. Look at the new car my faith got me. Look at the new house that my faith got me. Wasn't your faith to begin with. But right here, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt, or God has given to every man the measure of faith. Was it your own faith that bought you your salvation? No. God had to give you faith. God had to give you faith, because the kind of faith that God wants for your life is something that no human can have on their own. When Jesus cursed the fig tree in Mark chapter 11, and his disciples came back and they saw it withered, and they said, Master, 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 the tree that you cursed, it is withered away. What was Jesus' response? He said, have the God kind of faith. Have the God kind of faith. The faith that we have on the inside of us isn't just natural, human, fickle faith. It's not just saying, I believe in God. Because there's a lot of people that believe in God. There's people that study the word of God that believe in God, but they don't have the God kind of faith. The God kind of faith that we have that receives the blessings of God in our life is from him and from him alone. It is a free gift to us. It's a free gift. Faith is a gift. And faith is that free gift, and that's how we walk into the throne room of God, and then we reach out and we grab the blessings that he has for us. Praise the Lord. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Don't think, well, I've just built up my faith. I've just done all this and that, and I'm a big dog in the faith walk. Like, no, yeah, you can have a lot of faith, and I encourage you to continue hearing the word and being a doer of the word and building that faith on the inside of you, but it's not your faith. It's the God kind of faith on the inside of you. And that's the best kind of faith. If you've just built your own faith and you're building your own kingdom, and building your own kingdom is no way to be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. What you've earned in your own life can be taken away and destroyed. It's true. I would rather go about, like Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. You know, when we build faith into our lives, when we meditate on the word of God and grow in strength and the wisdom of God, things are just added. The blessings of God, it's almost just like they're residual. It's not. This is not the goal. The goal is not to get a new car. The goal is not to get a new house. The goal is not to have this and have that in life. The goal is just simply to seek God, and then everything else just follows right behind you. That's what we have to have our eye on, is be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Go ahead and turn back there to Hebrews chapter 11. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. And I'm getting ready to close here. And it says here in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I love that word substance, because that word substance can actually be translated into the word a place. So we can read that here in verse 11. Now faith is the place of things hoped for. Isn't that what I've been teaching here? Is that we have access to the things that we need in life. So by getting into faith, we get into that place where we can receive from God. Faith is the place of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And then down in verse 6, it says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So in order to go and approach God, we've got to have faith. And where does that faith come from? It comes from hearing the word of God. And as we hear the word of God, God gives us more faith. He gives more faith. He grows our faith more and more and more as we become hearers of the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Our seeking God in word and prayer and our obedience simply puts us in a place where we can receive his free gifts. That's what it does. We're not logging hours like we're clocking in and out of a job. It's just simply we're putting ourselves into a place where we can receive those free gifts from God. Because in order to receive something from somebody, we've got to be close to them, right? Yeah. Or even maybe in this day and age with Amazon, yeah, we can receive things from Amazon, but we still got to walk to the front door and pick it up to receive it. It could just sit there if we don't go and pick it up and receive it. And that would be no fun because Amazon can be fun. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just wanted to give you a few things to chew on here, you know, throughout the week, you know, because we should have these things just flooding through our minds, you know, and this is meditation, just chewing on it, just thinking upon it. And number one is our financial prosperity is not based on our merit. And why is that? It's because in 2 Corinthians 8:8, it says that Christ became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. So our financial prosperity is not based upon our merit and what we've earned. Yes, it's good to practice good financial wisdom, to make a budget, to do the right things, to give tithes and offerings. And yes, there are things that come as a result of that, but our prosperity is not based on our merit. Number two is that our righteousness isn't a result of us making good decisions. Because 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that is Christ Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, not because of all the things that we've done right in this life. Our peace isn't a result of our mental stability. Because Isaiah 53 in verse 3 says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. He took the chastisement of our peace. He took the fear away from us. He took the mental anguish away from us on the cross of Calvary so that we didn't have to bear it anymore. So our peace isn't just a result of us being mentally strong in life. Our healing isn't because we eat all the right foods and we do all the right things and we exercise. Again, yes, those things are good. But our healing is because he took the stripes on his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, might live under righteousness. By his stripes, we were healed. That's 2 Peter 2 and verse 24. 2 Peter 2:24. All of the blessings of God aren't ours because of what we've done. It's all because of him. When we get that realization and that understanding that all of the blessings of God are already belong to us without us earning them, we'll just start receiving them like that. You know, they'll start coming into our life, you know, much more, a lot easier than if we're sitting there trying to earn them on our own. You know, sometimes we see new Christians and new believers, and we think like, oh man, like, they're just so blessed. You know, a new Christian oftentimes, you know, if they get saved, they'll go up in a healing line, and hands will be laid on them, and they'll be miraculously delivered from their sickness and disease. But then somebody else goes up. They've been a faithful Christian for years, and they've gone up into the healing line time and time and time again, and it just seems like it's not working for them. What is the difference there? The new believer many times doesn't have experience to ride on. They don't have any merits to ride on. They don't have anything good in their life to ride on, so they're just simply riding on God's unmerited favor alone. And that is where we need to be. We need to take a step back. You know, forget all of the good things that you've done and just approach God in his righteousness, clothed in Jesus Christ, and you can be bold and confident before him. Have that full access and say, God, I'm here. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to worship you. I'm here to praise you and adore you. Because when you approach God that way, it's easy. It's easy. And it's enjoyable. It's not enjoyable to approach God trying to muster up all of your accomplishments and merits and good things that you've done. It's not enjoyable. But when you go in the accomplishments that he's done for you, it's easy. It's more enjoyable. So I encourage you, if you are struggling in your prayer and word time, Start resting in who God is in your life, and it'll be easy. You know, you can just sit back and relax and be in God's presence and just love Him, adore Him, worship Him. He'll speak to you. You can speak to Him. It's easy because you're not riding on the good and the bad that you've done. Now, I want to clarify everything that I've said here today because, you know, some people might get the wrong idea. You know, because there is an extreme grace message out there, and I never want to, try to pretend that grace is something that just frees us to do whatever we want. We do have freedom in Christ. We, the things of the law have gone and passed away, and we walk in love. But grace is not liberty to sin. And that's my third point here. Grace is not liberty to sin. And I'm just going to sum it up here in Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1. Praise the Lord. What shall we say then? See, this is Paul. He's summing up, too, his talk on grace. And he says, shall we continue in sin that grace should abound? And go ahead into verse 2. God forbid. God forbid. That's the answer to the question. Should we continue to do the wrong things, to continue to live in the sinful lifestyles that we've lived in, to keep giving into the addictions and the wrong ways of treating people just because we know that God's merit or God's favor and blessing is a free gift? Absolutely not. That would be just like treading all over everything that Jesus Christ and God did for us. That, you know, if somebody gives you a brand new car, you know, like what are you going to do? You know, they you didn't do anything to earn it. They just came up to you and they said, here, I just want to give this to you. I just want to bless you with this vehicle. Don't you want to do everything in your body to just please them, to just be good to them, to favor them? It's exactly what God wants from us. You know, He gave us all of these blessings. He gave us Jesus as a free gift, unmerited. We didn't earn it. And so now it should just be on our heart's desire to give everything back to Him. That's why we live the good life. That's why we live a righteous, just, and holy life. It's not because we're afraid and we cower in fear from God. Now, yes, we should reverence God. We should fear judgment. But we should do the right thing simply because we love our Heavenly Father and because of everything that He's done for us. Praise the Lord. We love because He first loved us. Praise the Lord. That is the goal, is to just walk in love. You know, I'm not going to go on now and preach a whole message on love or anything like that, but I think we kind of get an understanding here of what this is about. You know, grace is not a liberty to sin. We can frustrate that grace. Actually, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21, Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. If you are going to walk in God's favor and blessing, you can't frustrate the grace of God. And that simply happens by, yes, walking in sinful and disobedient lifestyles. Just do your best to walk in the ways that you know. Each and every one of us knows in our heart the right and wrong things to do. It doesn't have to be laid out in a Ten Commandment format. You know every step that you take of every day if you're just listening on the inside. What should I do? Is this the right thing? Is this the wrong thing? Is this the right way to treat somebody? Or, you know, just follow the inward witness and you'll be blessed. The inward witness is everything in life. And then, of course, walk in love. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all I have for this morning. You know, I hope that the fruit remains. You know, I hope that you guys were helped and encouraged this morning. Like I said, let's take a step back and let's stop trying to earn God's goodness and God's favor in our life. Instead, just rest and recline in who He is and what He's done in our lives. And then the blessings of God will start showing up in your life because it's not based on what you've done. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord God, that it is a help to us. It's a strength to us. I thank You, Father God, that as we've heard Your word today, I thank You that faith has grown in our hearts. Faith in who You are and what You've done for us, Father God. And I thank You that because of that, we will never be the same. I thank You, Father God, that as we leave this place here today, we will not forget the things that we've heard, the things that we've learned and been encouraged on, but we'll go from this place stronger than ever, going and running that race for You in Jesus' name. Father God, I thank You for each and every person here. I thank You that we are all strong in You, Lord, and we are doing Your will and doing Your works. And before I close today, just because I don't know everybody here today, I don't know who's in the parking lot, and I want to make sure that each and every person here has had an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You know, I would not want you to leave this place today not knowing that for sure, because that is the greatest gift of grace that God gave us. The Bible says that the wages of sin are death. So if you've ever even done one little thing, told a lie, taken something from somebody, hurt somebody, been offended, you've sinned. And in the high court of heaven, you were found guilty before God. But God then sent his son, Christ Jesus, to die on the cross for those sins, for those wrongdoings, for your shame and for your guilt, so that you could be freed from that. And all he said you have to do is believe. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You're going to be saved from eternal death in hell, and hell is a real place. But you're also going to be saved from hardships and some temptations and trials in this earth, because now you have a new and better and living way through Christ Jesus. So if that's you today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, with nobody looking around, all I'm going to ask you to do here today is just go ahead and lift up your hand. And we'll go ahead and we'll all pray together, and you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Is that anybody here today that wants to accept Jesus Christ? Just go ahead and lift up a hand. I see that hand. You can put it down. Is there anybody else here? Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Go ahead and put it down. See that hand. You can go ahead and put it down. And praise the Lord. I don't know if there's anybody in the parking lot, but why don't we go ahead? We had a couple hands here today. Why don't we go ahead and all pray this prayer together, and we can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior into our hearts. So everybody repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that he died on the cross and rose again so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins, be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can go ahead and lift up your heads. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad, you know, that people are getting saved. I'm so glad people are giving their hearts to Jesus. You know, we can go out and we can tell that to other people as well. We should be encouraging people in the Word of God and trying to go out there and getting people saved, telling them about the goodness of God. Tell them about this grace of God, this freedom that they have in Jesus Christ. And, you know, we want to bring as many souls into the kingdom of God as we can. Praise the Lord. Well, why don't we go ahead and stand up here? Ushers, you can go ahead and dismiss the parking lot. Thank you, everyone, for listening here this morning. Thank you for being such a good congregation. It's so good to be here with the family. If you are visiting, like I said, go ahead and come back. Pastor Tim is the man of God appointed to this pulpit, and you know, he's got a message from heaven each and every week here, you know, day in and day out. So go ahead, come back. If you didn't like what I have to say here today, praise the Lord. Pastor Tim is the anointed man of God. But I hope we were all blessed. I hope we were all encouraged. On the way out here today, you know, go ahead. You can give your tithes and offerings. Those of us that have been here, you know what to do. If you're visiting, don't feel obligated to give anything. You know, praise the Lord. We're just happy you're here to receive the Word of God. So let's go ahead and praise and worship Him. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. We worship you, Father God. We thank you for your Word. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace and your love. Father God, I thank you that we go from this place changed. We will never be the same. I thank you that angels go before each and every person here in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You are dismissed.